All right, welcome to the Girl Let's Read Your Bible podcast. I'm going to have to excuse myself for my voice this week. I am having a little hoarseness. I've had this for the last 2 weeks from singing a little too loudly in church, so praise God for that. This week we have Candace Burnett as our guest, and if you're new to this podcast, we have various guests come on and we talk to them about how their life has changed since growing with God and meeting with Him daily, either with Bible journaling or just getting in the Word. So we have different guests on each week. And this week we have Candace Burnett with us. And I believe you have your children there with you, so that's okay too. So we'll start out, we'll just have you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself before we hop right into interview questions. So I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself to the guests.
Okay, so I'm Candace Burnett. Like Nick said, I am a mom of four kids, ages 15, 9, 4, and 3. basically, right now my hobbies are I man the house while my husband travels, even though he's not traveling right now. Bible journaling. I do a lot of either notes in a Bible with one Bible or another Bible. I do a bunch of pictures and drawings. I always use like multiple Bibles if I do anything. Let's see. Sorry, I'm watching my kids like walk around the hotel. We are currently in a hotel because our house is having plumbing issues. So,
oh jeez.
We'll be here for a couple of days. Trying to think what else. I used to work part-time before the epidemic or whatever y'all want to call it. I mean, other than reading really and spending time in my Bible, keeping house, pretty much it. That's pretty much our life. So
you brought up the pandemic. I know you're a member of our group, and I know in the group you had asked for prayer that the pandemic had personally touched you. I know your husband was on quarantine for a time. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about what happened there and how your faith helped you through that situation? Because I know that you were actually personally affected by that, and I know during the time of this broadcast, what's today's date? Today's date is the 7th. So we're still right in the heart of this world pandemic. So a lot of people are actually personally affected by this. And I know you actually were. So if you want to talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So around March, I think it was probably the 10th. David was supposed to be local. When I say local, that usually means that he goes to a place that's just right down the road or maybe 2 hours away kind of thing and comes home and is good to go. But also, we kind of knew that they were starting to, like, not really travel. Like, he had a heads up. And so we honestly thought he was going to be staying home. But that wasn't the case. His boss called and said, hey, I need you in New Jersey. And at the time, New Jersey was literally like a hotbed for testing positive. And they said, however, you can't technically stay in a hotel, I guess, out of the state. So they had him stay in a hotel in Philadelphia, and he had to travel across the river every day. And of course, this job turned out to be a job that wasn't just gonna be like Monday, Tuesday, done, he's home. He was there until like, I think, Thursday or Friday. And so he did everything he could. He had masks, he had gloves. I think the facility that he worked at, everybody had their own little office and they kept their door shut. And I think he was in one room with one other guy and that was it. So when he got home, he always has like travel sniffles and travel coughs and colds. So we didn't think anything of it really because he didn't spike a fever. He just kind of had some sniffles, but we told him to keep an eye on it just in case. And then, the following week they told him, just go ahead and stay home, and which was a good thing because about a week after he got home from Philadelphia, which apparently takes a week to incubate, he had a fever. he started feeling pretty bad. So he called our doctor, or urgent care actually, and they were like, yeah, go ahead and go to the ER and let them know. But when he got there, it was like, you know, we can't test you. We have limited tests. If you're not over the age of 50, if your oxygen isn't this or that, then we can't test you because we're testing those that are going to have to be checked into ICU. And so they told him, we're going to just pretend that it's the coronavirus and you need to go quarantine yourself for a week. And so
was he quarantined at the hospital?
No, at the house. They told him, just go into a bedroom in your house and stay there for a week. It was going to be 2 weeks if he started like really feeling bad and didn't have any changes.
So he was home and you guys were home and he was in a separate room.
The way our house is set up is there's three floors and the third floor is just my room, the bathroom, and the girls' room. So we locked him in our room, basically, and he could have that bathroom upstairs, but I would have to make sure the girls, when they woke up, would come downstairs, and then I would be in the hallway spraying Lysol. And I literally only had one can of Lysol because someone found it for me and brought it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was like, I was taking him his meals, I had gloves, I was spraying Lysol, I had wipes. Thankfully, there was nice days where I could open up the window in the bedroom for him. And then I slept in the living room for a week, and I mean, it was really hard because, like, we're not used to being away from each other if we don't have to. The kids aren't used to him being locked up in the house and them not being able to talk to him. So they were like putting notes under the door and trying to bust in at one point. So it was really rough on them the most. So, but I would like, and then because they wanted us to do that, they were like, you know, make sure everybody in your house stays home. And I'm like, well, I can't stay home because if I do a curbside pickup for groceries, it was like 3 weeks out, and they couldn't deliver. And so it was like, I was dealing at the time trying to, like, I put myself in a hoodie and I had gloves, thankfully. And I would wrap a bandana around my head and I would just like dart in, grab what I needed, and I darted back out.
So how's everyone now? Is he better?
Yeah, like literally, one week later, he was fine. Up, out, I mean, he was still kind of like, you know, tired and kind of, because after a while, you know, your body just lays around all day, it gets tired.
Right.
But yeah, he was up and back, and none of us have had it. I haven't had it.
I'm going to praise God.
None of the kids have had it. We've honestly been fine. So.
Oh, good. So you probably really had to draw on your faith during that time and hold tight to God's promises.
Yeah, during
a scary time like
this. I think
this.
During that time, not only was I found a church online and I got active with them, but my husband's cousin and his aunt and step uncle and all them, they decided to start doing a over the phone Bible study together. So not only did my faith get deepened and I spent more time with God, but while David was locked up in the bedroom, he also started getting into like Bible study. And yeah, like, I mean, I think every night him and his cousin and his aunt, and I think his mom joined in too, they have set up like, it's not like Hangouts or Zoom, it's another one, and they do like meetings and they do Bible together. Because like his cousin and them are in Tennessee, his mom's back in Georgia, and we're in Pennsylvania.
Well, amen. Well, that's a great testimony. So for anyone that's listening, that's what we've been talking about a lot in our group, how even in these trials, there's good things coming. God is still moving. He's still on the throne through all of this. So we can look to those good testimonies that are coming from this. So we'll keep going. So obviously this interview is about reading the Bible, how it's changed you or how God's changed you. Do you remember a time in your life before where God may not have been an active part of your life, or before you were even a believer? Can you tell us about that time, like when God became active, when you became an active believer?
My mom has always told me that she believed that was meant for a higher purpose. Like, I remember her telling me that when I was little, because when I was about 6 or 7, I had a friend that took me to her church, and I automatically asked for a Bible. I wanted a Bible, and that was something I wanted. And I had always had a faith when I was younger. I got saved and baptized when I was about 9 or 10, but I didn't really like walk that. I mean, I knew I should walk the path. There was times where I knew I should walk the path, but I chose not to walk the path. And so It really took a while. It'd be a hit or miss, you know. It would be like maybe several years I didn't, and then in high school I found a different church and, you know, tried, and then things happened again. And but what I think, like, I really had like a strong turnaround in college when we had the Baptist Collegiate Ministries back in Oklahoma. And I just realized, you know, I really need to like step up my game. I mean, yes, I still struggled at times. I was like this constant roller coaster of with my walk, but I never really lost my faith. I never, you know, like doubted God. I never like turned completely away from God. But I really feel like it's always been there. But it's up to, like, I feel like it's been up to me to put in more of an effort, because like I know he hasn't left me. I know he always sends me signs. Like I was struggling one Christmas, and my sister, my Christmas gift from her was a turvis that said God is my arrow, and it was filled with chocolate. And I remember messaging her and going, oh, I love it. She said, well, she goes, you know, I saw it and I thought of you. You're just such a strong Christian and you love chocolate. So, I mean, I know I impact other people around me, even in my struggle.
Right, right.
And so, but I grew up with an alcoholic, bipolar, manic depressive mother who would just drop me off at church. So my family really didn't attend church. My brother he was born at 29 weeks. So he has some problems, not a lot. I mean, he has a job, he has a degree, he can drive, but he absolutely has no faith in God, because, like, you know, why would this happen? So I feel like if it weren't for me and the family constantly trying to show faith, I feel like my family probably wouldn't have any kind of I guess a role model, or because I truly believe you're a walking, living Bible, and sometimes you're the only God that a person encounters. And so absolutely, I always try and, like, I don't want to like overwhelm my family and friends with like my faith. I don't want to like baptize them in how I am, but I do just enough that I know that God's like, you know, you're planting a seed and they will start asking questions. And it's true, it's happened every time.
It always does. He'll shine right through you. Absolutely. That's a wonderful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that. So what was it that made you decide to make Bible reading or studying an actual regular part of a daily routine, as opposed to just having just a faith like you talked about? What was it that made you make it an actual daily routine?
Mostly it was kind of like a conviction. Like, you know, if you can wake up every morning, Candace, and grab your cell phone and skim what's going on there, why can't you stop and do something that's better for you, that feeds you, that will start your day off right? And even if it's just 5 minutes. I mean, even if it's just like look at a note card of scripture, even if it's just like one thing that I'm doing that really helps is every morning I go downstairs to my kitchen and I turn on my radio. I have one of those little radios that's underneath the cabinet. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, love that. I'm so excited.
Love those. I have a kitchen radio too. We're old school.
Of course, my parents was a turn knob, so at least I push a button on this one. Because I don't know if I could stand there with my leg propped up trying to be an antenna or not. But I turn on K-Love every single morning. It's on K-Love. It plays all day, every day. Doesn't matter if I'm in the room. Doesn't matter. I know it's on. It's saturating. And, you know, we'll be down there eating snacks or eating lunch. Or I might just go sit down there. I've been down there because, you know, the plumber's there. So it's always on. But, like, even my kids know the lyrics to the songs. And so, I mean, it's constantly saturating our family. And that's something I do. I feel like even if I can't get into my Bible, K-Love has a daily word or a daily verse. So at least I'm hearing it. I'm a very audio person, you know, I like my audiobooks, I like podcasts. And so just
having
that little something.
Yeah, it's all writing it onto your heart. Yeah, that's
still,
another way to write
it's still
it.
Still that
there.
Whole,
yep.
You know,
absolutely.
Instead of garbage in, garbage out, it's scripture in, scripture out. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how long have you been consistently doing a daily meet with God like that?
I think I got back in the saddle probably around New Year's. Definitely, like, even more hardcore probably around Valentine's Day. So I would say Valentine's Day was definitely when everything started kicking in. Because when we got to that new house, it was like I could actually have time. I could think. I could breathe. And I could just take a moment for myself. And I definitely do at night. Like, at night, I get on YouTube and I have some girls that I follow that do Bible study on there. And I love watching them. So, yeah, basically, I would definitely say definitely my Valentine's Day gift to myself was getting back into it.
Started your love affair back up with Jesus on Valentine's Day. I love that. I love that. So do you have like a specific place that you like to do your, you said at night is a big time for you. Do you have like a specific place? Like, I know some people have a war room or a prayer room. Do you have
for
a specific
right now,
place for?
It's my second floor is the living room and my son's bedroom. Mm-hmm. So the girls are upstairs and I put them to bed and my teenager's downstairs, so we're good. And then, so I go into my living room where I have my recliner. It's also where I have my bookcase. It's also where I have all of my Bibles. And so I just pop out the recliner, turn on the YouTube, turn off the TV. And if I need to get up and go to my bookcase and pull out a different Bible, or maybe I need my Strong's Concordance, or I used to go to Liberty University, and so all of our core curriculum would have different Christian theology books, and so I would just go pull that out in my lap and just kind of, you know, dig back into it.
So you do journaling, and you mentioned that earlier.
So
journaling too.
Yeah,
do you want to talk a little bit about
so
that?
I used to do picture drawings. I have one Bible. It's my She Reads Truth Bible. She is completely filled with pictures, stickers, note cards, just. I call it my pretty Bible. It's the Bible that I just kind of look over and look back over, and I still read my words and stuff. And then I have my Thrive Bible. Now, my Thrive Bible is where I'm writing down the notes for all the Bible studies. I'm writing down what time it is, what date it is, who I'm following at the time. And so it's just all of the notes are in that. I also have like a study Bible that I use, but right now my journaling is mostly the writing the notes to what I'm studying. So it's full of like sticky notes of multiple colors, highlighting crazy, just like breaking down scripture, rewriting the scripture. And that's what's going on with that Bible. So like I have different techniques and things I like to do. Drawing used to be a passion of mine. I think that's probably why I chose to draw in my Bible for at least a year. And then I just kind of stopped and I was like, I really just need to kind of take notes. So,
it's kind of like which season of you're in. Like, right. So since you're back, you're more into a routine with God now. You're more meeting with Him daily in your Bible. What changes have you seen in your life or in the people around you? You've mentioned that the people around you, it's reached them as well. What changes have you noticed?
Well, for me, I still have some anger issues, but I'm a little bit calmer. I'm not so all over the place and absolutely losing it. And I feel a little bit more calmer. Definitely more joy, more optimism. I used to be very negative, and now I'm not so much. And then, like I said, you know, my kids are learning some of the music and the lyrics. They see me. They see me, you know. We have TV shows that we watch on Amazon Prime, like Superbook. And so, I mean, they're seeing it. And then, you know, I told you my husband even got back into it. So it's slowly been impacting and changing just the household, the persona of the household. I think I would be a little I think I would be a lot more negative and a lot more crazy right now during quarantine and the house falling apart, but I'm too busy kind of laughing about it at this point.
Yeah, my husband and I just had that same conversation, what this whole world pandemic would be like without our faith, as opposed to being in it with a strong faith in God. We had that conversation this morning. So it would be a completely different situation if you weren't walking through this with Jesus. And it was a good conversation we had. So you are definitely a member of the Girl Let's Read Your Bible group. How has that group helped your walk with God? Or what have you gained from that
group? With our group, it's just been nice to, like, I feel like there's been times where I would get on my Facebook and I was seeing more negative stuff than positive stuff. But at least now, whenever I get on my Facebook, the first thing I usually see is your posts every day. What can we pray for? What are you reading today? And what is God showing you today? And so it's just nice to get on my news feed and actually see that first and foremost. And not, you know, what's the president doing today? What's the newest count today? What's this?
Right.
Or, I mean, it's kind of a tie right now, sadly. I think my news feed is either faith-based, or I have my friends that have been watching Tiger King, and so I'm just like, okay, so it's nice to know.
Right.
I can just, like, scroll through it and be like, all right, we're going to this instead.
Yeah. No, it's nice to have something positive to turn to, that's for sure. So what tips would you offer to someone who's just starting out with their brand new walk with God?
Go slow. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't pick and choose your verses of what you're reading. Read the entire chapter, or, you know, read, sometimes you can't really read the whole book, but at least read the whole chapter. Because there's some of us that can just open the Bible and be like, oh, this verse applies to my life. However, what is the context that it's being used? And good, I think, tip. I used to do
absolutely
that when I was younger. I can remember just finding something and being like, oh, that applies to me. And I was like, but then I read the whole chapter and I was like, you know, let's go a little bit deeper in this. So,
yeah. And then you're like, oh, that's what that
and
really
now that
means.
There's different Bible translations. I'm like, hang on, let me see what this is saying. Let me pull up Joyce Meyer's Amplified Bible. Let me see what she's. Because people can interpret or a word can change. And so sometimes I just have to see it different.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And pray over it. I always like to throw that in there. Pray over it, because God might have a whole nother word for you from him. So always, that's a tip I always, just to throw my own personal two cents in here. God has something for you while you're in there. So don't forget to pray while you're in there. He's got something for you. So, all right. If you could have dinner with anybody from the Bible, I ask everyone this when they come on, who would it be and why?
I feel like these days I would honestly really like to sit down with Job. Like, I mean, just
a lot of people say that
season right now. I'd really like to sit down with Job because I feel like he's the type that, like, you know, how are you doing? But he would probably be a more like, you know, how are you doing? Like, I don't think he'd be concerned about himself. He'd be concerned about me, but I would be concerned about him. And so it would just be a very comforting dinner. But if I had, like, I feel like that, or if I wanted an exciting dinner, like David, I feel like David would be an exciting dinner.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I
lots
mean,
of stuff to talk
who knows?
About.
He would probably start, like, spontaneously dancing or something. So
all right, well, here, this I guess this question, we probably all know the answer. I don't know, what's one thing you think would make the world a little bit better?
In all honesty, I truly believe that what's going on now is going to better the world, because people are getting more into their Bibles, they're getting more into their family. They're coming together.
That's true.
I live in Bethel Park, and I've seen firemen and police officers make a parade for a little boy for his birthday. I've seen a church delivering food items and toilet paper. I've seen just more people come together than ever. Like, we were, everybody's always saying how the seniors of 2020, I feel so bad for them. I'm kind of not right now, because I did for a while, but then something was brought to my attention, brought to my heart. They came into a world when 9/11 occurred and we were all together. We were all supporting each other. We were all standing by each other. Now they're going out into mm-hmm. the world with us all together, all of us supporting each other. So they came into the world, but now they're going out into a world where everybody is helping each other. And I feel like that's the perfect time for someone to just get ready to go into a work field or get ready to go to college, is because I feel like everybody's going to be a little bit more concerning about man. I don't know if that makes sense, but where we would probably still be selfish and self-centered, now we're going to be looking at these seniors coming into college like, how can I help you? How are you doing? We're in this together. So I feel like this is like a really great time for a change.
Absolutely. Well, that is all my questions for you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for coming on.
All these kids coloring
like
crazy.
It was really great. Thank you for sharing. I know it's hard to get through and do interviews right now because everyone has kids home, but that kids are a wonderful blessing. So if you don't mind, I'd like to close in a prayer. Normally, I don't want to do this on every one of these podcasts, but the world is in such a crazy place.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
So if you don't mind. All right. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for being able to come together and do this interview and for all the listeners. We ask for your peace today, God. We have information coming at us from all sides. Help us to be discerning today, to know what's right, what's wrong. We ask you to cast out all fear. A lot of us are having anxiety and fear come over us. We know that your perfect love casts out all fear. Help us to reach out to others with our hearts today, where we can't always reach out with touch. Help us to be more socially connected with others where we're socially distant right now. And we just thank you for your love today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And we will see you all again in 2 weeks. Have a great day.